Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Mornings with the Masters, where we devote ourselves to the Lord daily with you. We are picking up with day two of our devotion in the Bible app titled, Unto Us, Celebrating the Arrival of Jesus. There's a link to that in the description if you guys want to follow along. And as always, I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm also going to pick with the Devo. Before then, we're going to do our Advent reading.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary in the village of Nazareth. The angel said, "Greetings, the Lord has blessed you and is with you. You will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be called Son of the Most High and will reign forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel also said, "The Holy One to be born to you will be God's Son. Even your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. Nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May everything you've said come true." Then the angel left her. Mary hurried to visit her relative Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, the baby inside Elizabeth jumped for joy. Elizabeth told Mary that she was blessed because she believed that what the Lord said to her would really happen. Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph, but before they came together, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. The angel told him that Mary was to have a baby from God. Joseph was to name the baby Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. He would also be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. At that time, a decree said that everyone had to go to his family's town to register. Joseph was from the family of David, so he and Mary went to Bethlehem, which was David's home. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Shepherds living out in the fields nearby were keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of angels from heaven appeared with the first angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to men with whom God is pleased." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. After the shepherds had seen Jesus, they told everyone around them what the angel had said. All who heard were amazed. The shepherds returned to their sheep, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Mary knew these things were precious, and she thought about them often in her heart. On the eighth day, the baby was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was born. Sometime later, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod, who was the king, secretly questioned the wise men. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, where, according to what a prophet long ago had written, Christ was to be born. King Herod told the wise men to tell him when they found the child so he could worship him too. Then they went on their way. The star the wise men had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. At the house, the wise men saw Jesus with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him and gave him gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to King Herod, so they returned home another way. The Lord also warned Joseph in a dream to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt to escape King Herod. They stayed in Egypt until Herod died. In day 22, soon after his birth, Joseph and Mary presented Jesus to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem, in keeping with the Jewish law.
Okay, the scripture for the devotional is Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 47, and it says this, "After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. The devotional is titled Wonderful Counselor, and it says this: as followers of Jesus who are imperfect, we all need to live in a way that glorifies God. All of us need wise counsel to help guide our decisions. Fortunately, Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Jesus is our wonderful counselor. The Hebrew language, which is the original language of the Old Testament, defines it this way: wonderful, or pile, to wonder or marvel at something extraordinary or hard to understand. And counselor, which is ya'atz, to advise, consult, give counsel, devise, or plan. When we put these two definitions together, we see that Jesus was born with a supernatural capacity to offer the most marvelous counsel and advice we'll ever know. While his wonderfulness may be difficult for us to grasp, there's nothing he doesn't understand. Even at the young age of 12, all who listened to him preach in the synagogue were astonished at his understanding. No idea, concept, or piece of knowledge is beyond his reach or intellect. He is the perfect Messiah and the Holy One who provides us the necessary counsel that we need. But this wonder describes more than just Jesus's miraculous activity. It's who he is. Yes, he does wonderful, extraordinary things beyond our comprehension, but he himself is the wonder. Jesus was born both God and man. It may be difficult to fathom, but his entrance from heaven straight into the world was astoundingly miraculous. Think about one or two areas of your life where you truly need advice or help. You never have to think, well, I'll just never figure out what to do here. The truth is that Jesus is not just a wonderful counselor. He is your wonderful counselor. He is your wonderful counselor. Followers of Jesus have complete access to him and his awe-inspiring abilities. We don't have to just hope that we get things right. We can trust in the one whose strength is extraordinary to counsel us in our lives. His counsel is readily available to us through the Bible and by spending time with him. When we learn about him, his character, and his ways, we'll recognize his leading and his guidance in our lives. Our wonderful counselor is ready and willing to guide us in every area of our life. And I'm just reminded of how God is not the God of confusion. Like, if you just think of one of the first things we read in the Bible in Genesis, there is like chaos over the waters. I don't remember exactly. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And whenever I think of darkness, I think of not knowing where I am. I think of being confused. I think of being lost. And when I think if I were in a room and it were dark and then the light got flipped on, now I can see. Now I have vision. I know where I'm at. I'm no longer confused or scared or anxious or whatever. And I think a lot of us are unknowingly choosing to stay in the dark because we're not tapping into the light that he is in our life. And so I think we may be just missing out on opportunities to experience his wonderful counsel because we're not digging in deep and maybe digging in deep enough. Or maybe it's no longer just kind of throwing up those little quote-unquote Hail Mary prayers when we're driving in the car, which I think we should still be praying while we're driving. You know, I'm not knocking that. But maybe if there's something that we're really confused on, maybe we need to lean into fasting. Maybe we need to lean into maybe a retreat for 1 or 2 days just to spend time in isolation with God in prayer. Maybe it needs to go to someone who Jesus can speak through into our life, whether it's like an actual counselor or a pastor or just a mentored person discipling us, whatever. I think that we are kind of in this generation where you can hop on Google or ChatGPT or YouTube or whatever, and you can hopefully find the answer as quick as you want. But because of that, we're not always running to the answer, which is him. And so I think that's kind of where I'm at right now is, anytime I'm looking something up, I just run to the internet, or I'll just call someone who I think understands something on that topic, but I'm going to those places in replacement of him. but I still am carrying confusion over the deeper meaning. Yeah, I'm able to get some fun details from those situations, but yeah. So I think what I'm trying to say is that I think that we may be missing out a little bit on experiencing the fullness of his wonderful counsel. And to think of him as just as a young boy blowing people's mind in the synagogue. Well, when's the last time God blew your mind? And it's probably, if it's been a while, like it has probably been mine, it's probably because we're not at his feet asking him questions. So anyways, I'm going to pray. Lord, you are truly our wonderful counselor. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to make an appointment with you, to spend time receiving your wonder and your counsel. We love you, Lord. And we pray in your son's heavenly name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Now's that perfect time to break out the worship music, break out the journal, and continue pressing to the Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece, and don't forget that we love you. We love me talking to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao, ciao.